A young woman with long blonde hair types intently. On her desk is a small nameplate reading Elaine Mathis, PA, Avonmore Clinic. She is surrounded by a circular partition of glass and white melamine. The entire office is very clinical and white. She pauses, her fingers hovering over the keyboard. She then opens a drawer and pulls out a large pair of scissors. She walks slowly down the corridor, turning the scissors in her hand. A woman with long dark hair steps out from a glass-fronted office. Stepping up to Elaine's screen, she stops dead. Elaine steps through a doorway along the corridor. In the washroom now, she faces the mirror and takes the scissors to her own hair. The dark-haired woman scrolls down Elaine's screen. She finds the single phrase, "Find her," endlessly repeated. Her expression clouds. Elaine sits slumped on the washroom floor, her hair hacked short.
Elaine?
Chris.
Elaine, blood trickling from her savaged scalp, sits staring ahead catatonically. A young woman with a profusion of auburn hair drives an open-topped Mercedes past a gasometer. The car tools along a dual carriageway. The young woman drives through wooded parkland towards a tall building and pulls up by a curb. She looks impassively across the road to where a group of people are gathered around a weeping woman whose dog seems to have been run over. The young woman looks at herself beadily in the rearview mirror, then, with chilling proficiency, pretends to weep for a moment.
Hi, you've reached Elaine Mathis. Please leave a message after the tone.
This is a message for Elaine Mathis. It's Dr. Lydia Wiseman. Sorry I missed your calls. But listen, Elaine, you're not going crazy, okay? You need to know that. Please call me at my clinic, the Connecticut one, not the New York one, or on my cell phone when you get a chance. There's something you need to know about Eve Wright. And whatever you do, don't let Eve know.
Message deleted.
The auburn-haired woman, presumably Eve Wright, smiles coolly as she presses the button with a gloved finger. A little girl sits on a pavement, clutching a life-size baby doll. She gets up and places the doll in the middle of the street. She sits back down expectantly. A car passes, crushing the doll beneath its wheels. The girl looks on, smiling mildly as the doll's severed head rolls across the tarmac. The little girl has auburn hair. Three young women jog together.
Do you remember when you had that sex dream about Boris Johnson?
You both know that was a dream slash nightmare.
Yeah, right. You said you thought about him when you were having sex with Alistair.
Accidentally thought about him.
Like, neither of your minds have strayed from the job in hand.
I did wonder if Katie had knits once.
I'll see your knits and raise them with Zane from One Direction.
What? He's about 12.
The trio arrive back in a comfortable close of houses.
Oh. Hi, Mum.
Hi, Katie.
Well done.
See you Sunday.
I'm there.
Are you sure?
Am I dead?
Come on. Get up. Come on.
A little girl in rollerblading gear, complete with helmet, comes out through the front door of one of the houses and skates slightly unsteadily down the path, along the pavement, and up the path of the next door house. She drops what seems to be a barbecue invitation through the letterbox. A black 4x4 rolls into the close and parks in a driveway. The skater seated on the pavement close by stares skywards. A man gets out from the vehicle and addresses the little girl.
Hey, sweet pea.
Hi, Dad.
Homework?
Done.
SWAT? Cosmos update?
The astro indicators are showing a crash in the Mars-Uranus cycle.
Translated?
Something bad's gonna happen. Really bad.
Excellent.
The man smiles and heads insouciantly into the house. The little girl remains seated on the pavement. The wind seems to pick up and whip leaves around. Suddenly onto the tarmac falls the dead body of a bird. The girl stares down at it and then picks it up with concern.
Hi. What's your name?
Katie. With an I-E.
Hello, Katie, with an I-E. I'm Eve, your new neighbour.
The auburn-haired woman, getting no response from Katie, walks towards the house outside which her open-topped car is parked. A sign out front reads, "To Let." Katie goes back to examining the dead bird, then glances over her shoulder towards Eve. Eve steps into the stylishly sterile house, her red stilettos reflected in the tiled floor. She flicks through the pile of post, pausing at the barbecue invitation. She tears up the invitation and tosses it aside. Eve, still in her dressy outdoor suit, pulls framed diplomas out of a packing case, dusts them and hangs them on the wall. One seems to read Master of Science. She pulls out a framed photo of what would seem to be herself and a young man and sets it up on the desk. She now ruminatively holds a photo of the little girl, presumably her former self, hugging her doll. She stands this on the desk also. Katie stands in her darkened bedroom, her eye to the viewfinder of an expensive-looking telescope. She scans a dark sky pointed with bright stars, but then lowers the telescope to spy on where Eve sits working at the table in her shiny conservatory. Daytime, Katie wobbles up Eve's front path on her skates and presses the doorbell.
Hello, Katie.
With an IE.
My mum wants to know if you're coming to the barbecue.
What barbecue?
I pushed a car through the other day.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
I definitely pushed it through.
Well, I guess I'll see you there then, won't I?
Eve smiles coldly and goes back inside. Katie's dad turns burgers on the barbecue.
You got a beer, John?
Thanks. Let me introduce you to my husband, Max. Max, this is Eve.
Oh,
hiya. Hello, Max.
How are you?
This is for you too.
Whoa.
Sorry, I haven't had time to chill it.
Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should have a barbecue in your honour every day.
And this is for you.
Oh, I'm being spoiled.
You're welcome, Freddy.
Thank you.
I'll try not to kill it. Excuse me.
Can I get you a drink?
I'll have a red wine, please.
Coming right up.
Eve remains there alone, clutching the rather scrawny pot plant given her by Katie's mum. Laying it to one side, she leans down and examines the array of family photos on the side dresser. Her expression darkens somewhat. She then looks around, smiling slyly.
That's Katrina and Alistair. They live across the road from you.
Mm-hmm.
And their two boys, Josh and Aiden. Oh, and that's Imogen. She runs a recruitment business with her soon-to-be ex-husband.
Awkward.
Very. She's great, though.
Yeah, when she's sober.
Max!
What is true?
She's on the wagon.
For now.
Don't listen to me. She's doing brilliantly.
Oh, that's no problem. Discretion's part of my job.
Oh, good. You can tell her about your cross-dressing, then.
You're not going to get us to lie on a sofa and reveal our most intimate thoughts, are you?
I'm opening my own clinic soon. Door's always open.
She takes a bowl of salad from Max and walks away. He watches her go as if fascinated yet unnerved. She stands sipping her wine. Imogen joins her.
So, where's Mr. Wright tonight?
Aren't they all taken?
Oh, no, I meant your name. Eve Wright.
Looked around. What about you?
Oh, no, my Mr. Wright turned out to be Mr. Very Wrong.
And you haven't met anybody else?
No. My relationships don't seem to last longer than a carton of milk these days. Just get really nervous and can't stop talking before you know it, I've been dumped. But we don't need to get onto that. We'll be here all week.
Try me. But before you do, I'm going to get some more wine.
They exchange an awkward glance.
You've been well briefed.
No, I wasn't briefed. It just slipped out. Do you want anything?
I'm all right.
Your job must be fascinating.
You can look at these people, and it's like you can see into their souls.
He's pissed.
Excuse my son, Eve. He's suspicious of anything that doesn't have a definitive answer.
I just don't think we know enough about the mind to say who's sane and who isn't. It's all conjecture. It's just some people get paid a lot of money for conjecture.
Josh, that's rude.
No, he's right. We don't know enough about the mind. But sometimes we know enough to make a diagnosis about someone.
That's you, Tove. I need to get some tips off you.
Yeah, let's hop up.
And what would you diagnose me as, then?
A classic genophobe. Desperate to put out the lie that he doesn't care that he's still a virgin, when the truth is he's terrified of having sex in case he can't perform, and sometimes wonders if he's destined to a life of solitary masturbation. Close? What's mingle?
She walks away in her figure-hugging white skirt.
Hey, Emma's got the dirt on a new neighbour.
Husband's a no-go area. She just clammed up when I asked where he was.
Max and Alistair seem to have taken a shine.
Yeah, I can't think why.
Remember that interested when Chancellor Merkel moved in?
Be fair, she shaved the moustache off since then.
That's really mean. Come on, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, well, she's got a major girl crush on you.
She has.
The older woman in question coquettishly waves across. Katie watches through her telescope as Eve carelessly bins the pot plant. Katie looks up in surprise. Eve comes downstairs in a short satin kimono, a glass of wine in her hand, and sits at her Apple Mac. She pulls up a video message from Elaine Mathis, whose now very short hair is dyed black. Eve calmly closes her computer, switches out the light, and resumes sipping her wine. Katie's mum limbers before a run. Eve appears with a bottle of wine.
For the barbecue last week.
And for the lovely plant.
Thank you.
Why did you throw it in your bin then?
Katie.
I saw.
I'm guilty, I'm afraid. I'm so sorry I dropped it and it didn't survive.
Oh, silly, I'll give you another one.
It looked okay to me.
Oh, it was dead.
It looked alive.
Definitely dead. It was definitely dead.
Homework, madam.
Don't mind her.
Do you run? I'm just wondering if you fancy joining me and the girls at the weekend. We run a couple times a week together.
Oh, no, I'd only slow you down.
I say run. It's really a chance to catch up on all the goss.
Well, all right, you can count me in. Anyway, I'll see you jogging.
Katie's mum watches as Eve walks away. A large dog seems to take a dislike to her. Eve pounds on a running machine, either an intense competitor or struggling to get fit. In her darkened house, she is now back sipping red wine. She peers out through the curtains onto the street. She observes Imogen through the darkness on the opposite pavement in a clinch with a young man. They hurry indoors. Eve remains alone in the darkness, imitating the dog. She now comes back down the stairs in a sparkly black dress with a backline which plunges to the small of her elegant back. She sits alone in a bar lit with lurid crimson light. She glances across at the young barman. On spotting two couples getting up to leave, the barman seems to swiftly withdraw behind a door into a back room.
It's all right, they've gone.
He re-emerges, looking levelly at Eve as she sits there playing with her drink.
Thank you.
Did your visa run out?
Can I get you something?
Another martini, please.
With a twist or dirty?
Always dirty.
They hold each other's gaze. She is now perched on the somewhat wobbly stainless steel sink in the kitchen, watching him dispassionately as he thrusts between her spread thighs.
Jesus fucking Christ. Wow. Well, FYI, this gun is for hire, anytime. Lock and load. Hey, can I see you again?
Why?
Why? To get to know you. Maybe we can go for a meal or a drink or something.
FYI, I needed a fock. I didn't ask to get married.
Having checked her smartphone for messages, she walks out, leaving him gawping foolishly. She is now back on the running machine, seemingly upping the pace. All four women are now out running together.
That's not fair! You didn't tell us you could run!
I can't! I haven't run in ages!
Screw this. Come on, let's cheat.
Oh, fuck it.
I can't believe we're doing this. I'm easy, I'm back now.
Eve leads the other two away over the grass to cut off Katie's mum, who has powered ahead.
How did you guys get here?
Only bad girls win.
But if we're going to go to the park...
She joins them at their cafe table.
Oh, we got you a coffee.
Thanks.
Oh my God, it's that guy.
What guy?
The one who made me fall off the wagon.
Where?
No! No!
Right.
What are you doing? I'm gonna have a word.
Don't! Imogen, that bastard set you back 6 months, do you remember? He treated you like absolute shit.
I'm sorry, excuse me. Treat my friend like that? You deserve everything you get.
Absolutely.
Woo! Go where I am!
I can't believe you just did that.
I really served it.
Sorry, did you find that funny? Yeah?
Well, do you know what's not funny? Leaving your kids alone with him. Not funny.
Eve comes back from talking to the man over whose head Marianne has already poured a vase of water.
He deserved it.
The others seem impressed. The women are now gathered by a fence eating ice cream, except Marianne.
Bad idea.
Awful. You're nuts, Em. You don't know what you're missing.
Have you heard from AA Tom?
Oh, well, I'm sure he'll call.
Hope so.
You ever had sex with your ex?
God, no. Anyway, he's not officially my ex yet. The divorce still hasn't come through.
My client says the best sex they've ever had.
No, I'm not going there. Besides, a rabbit can't bullshit you.
What about you, Marianne?
No.
What about airport guy?
Oh, God, I forgot about you. I don't know, this guy once, who said if he didn't have an airport named after him by the time he was 50, he'd shoot himself.
Cab? No, I've only ever slept with Alistair.
You've only slept with one man?
No.
She's like a virgin. We have our own shrine to her.
Are you not curious?
Well, maybe. I'm happy to keep it that way.
Right, I'm going to time a lap.
God, I wish I had her willpower. Got us stuffing our faces and there she goes, running a skinny arse off.
She wasn't always that skinny. She used to come for eat.
Really?
Yeah, but look at her now. Perfect bod, perfect man, perfect everything. Let's ditch the skinny bitch.
Eve watches Marianne as she speeds away. Eve sits in her silver car now with the hard top on. She checks in the rearview mirror and then gets out of the driver's seat. She gets out a map and leans on the car boot. Marianne appears, running through nearby trees. She spots Eve, waves, and comes over.
Eve! Oh, hello! What are you doing here?
Oh, I'm on my way to see a client, and I can't find Dale Road.
Dale Road?
Yeah, can you see it?
Haven't seen one of these in a while.
I know, the sat-nav's not working.
It's probably in one of the creases.
Well, I've looked all down here. I found that one there.
The car behind suddenly reverses, forcibly crushing Marianne's legs. Eve appears utterly shocked. The other car drives away. It now pulls up in a lonely spot. The barman gets out. Eve sits in a hospital waiting room. She smiles sinisterly until Max appears, bringing her back to reality.
Well?
She's going to be fine. She's a fractured left tibia. She's been plastered for 6 weeks.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, I feel terrible, Max.
It's not your fault. You didn't get a good look at the driver?
No, it all happened so quickly. I gave the police the car details.
Stolen. And found abandoned.
And are you all right? If there's anything I can do to help, I can... I don't know, help out at work or pick up Katie.
Yeah, we're okay. Thanks, Eve.
I'm so sorry.
Come on, let's get a coffee.
Max places a hand on Eve's shoulder as he guides her away. Katie is again studying the night sky. She lowers the telescope to see Eve dancing wildly in her kimono, wine glass in hand. Eve spots the girl staring from her first floor window. Eve seems to drunkenly hitch up her skirt to Katie's immense shock. Daytime, Eve now walks composedly along the path to Marianne and Banks's front door. She cradles what would seem to be a chocolate gâteau on a plate.
Ta-da. Is it bedtime? Got takeaway too?
No. Max is on double and Katie's at a sleepover. Sorry, come in.
Oh, your poor leg.
Mm.
We might as well finish it. There's only a bit left.
Oh, no, I'm good, thanks.
Go on.
I've forgotten how good bad food tastes. Right. Katie, can you Skype plus contact later?
What's contact?
It's a film she's seen about 500 times already.
Well, she certainly is a very individual young lady.
I know. I worry how individual she is sometimes.
Did you never think of having a brother or a sister for her?
Oh, we couldn't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Eve, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
It's been bugging me since Katie told me. It's mad, okay? It's seriously mad.
What?
She said she saw you dancing around your garden the other night.
Well, I might have after having too much wine.
Yeah. And that you, flashed her.
What?
God, sorry. Sorry, it's ridiculous.
Why would she say something like that?
She's done it before. I thought she'd stop, but obviously she hasn't. I don't know why she'd say something as bad as this, though.
Well, maybe she's seeking attention and she wants you to see her.
See her every day?
No, I mean, see her. Maybe she thinks you're not spending enough time with her.
Got a kill for a fag.
I didn't know you smoked.
Whenever I get pissed, I get a craving.
Me too. Can I use your bathroom?
Yeah, top of the stairs on the right.
Eve leaves Marianne beached on the sofa with her broken leg stuffed with wine and takeaway and now with the added temptation of a packet of cigarettes. Eve climbs the stairs and crosses to Katie's telescope. Marianne leans out of the French window, sucking voraciously at a cigarette.
Am I going to be on the naughty step for a while?
Well, Max can't shout at you. You're crippled with discrimination.
Max doesn't do shouting.
I mean, you and Max have a perfect relationship. Obvious.
Is it?
Yeah.
What about you, you dark horse?
Can we do me and Ben another day? It's very complicated.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I need to dig.
What were we talking about?
Me and Max.
Oh, yeah, you and Max. Perfect. Alistair and Katrina.
Yeah. What?
No, I shouldn't have said that. Sorry.
No, what?
I know about Katrina.
She told you?
No, not in so many words, but... Do you remember when we were at the park?
Yeah.
And she was talking about Alistair being the only man she'd ever slept with, and she kept touching a wedding ring. It was a classic guilty tell.
You're a good doctor, right?
Who is it? Well, it's obviously someone from the close.
I don't know.
It's not Max, is it Max?
What? No!
Right, Imogen's husband?
Jesus.
It is, isn't it?
Please don't say anything, okay? Imogen would be really upset, and it was ages ago. It was just the once. It was when Imogen and Nick were still together. Just why you have to forget we ever had this conversation.
What conversation?
You know what, I'm gonna go to bed. I think I've drunk too much wine.
Marianne hobbles away on her crutches, leaving Eve continuing to pull reflectively on her own cigarette. She smiles darkly. Half of the Get Well Soon chocolate gâteau sits on the table as Marianne, hungover, comes down. She eyes the cake. Katrina is putting out her bin. Eve walks up.
Oh my God, Eve, you gave me a fright.
think Em's okay?
Well, she's probably hungover if she feels anything like I do.
Sounds like I missed quite a party.
Oh, you know, just the usual drunken bad behaviour.
How bad?
She was coming out with all kinds of stuff. She probably won't remember half of it.
Like what?
Well, you know, stuff.
What stuff?
It's all right, Kat. Well, discretion's part of my job, isn't it?
Wait, she told you stuff about me?
You and Nick? But, like I said, you'd have to worry. I'm not going to say anything. Oh, my God. I can't believe she told you that. She didn't. 3.5 bottles of Pinot Grigio did.
Even so, she promised.
Please don't say that I said anything. I mean, she's under enough pressure not being able to run. Promise?
Yeah.
But the three of us can still go running tonight, can't we?
Yeah, sure.
All right, I'll see you later. About 6.
Katie surveys her telescope in horror. Marianne toils up the stairs on her crutches, her face like thunder.
It's been done on purpose.
What? Who would do something like that?
She would.
Eve?
Yes.
Okay, sweetheart. I am not going to get cross with you, but you really need to stop making things up. It's not good.
Mum, think about it. A lot of bad stuff has happened since she moved in. The Astro indicators are never wrong.
No, not listening to this.
First dead cuckoo.
What dead cuckoo?
Then she threw your plant away. You broke your leg. She was there. She flashed her vulva at me. And now my telescope scratched.
Okay. We will deal with the flashing thing later. The rest are just coincidences.
Are they?
Yes. Yes, they are. Now, can we drop this? Okay, Katie, we will try and fix the scratch later, all right? I'm going back to bed.
Marianne drags herself away. Katie roller skates in the close. Eve pulls up in her car.
Hey, little girl. What's the matter with you? Don't you
Hello, Katie. What kind of moon are we going to have tonight?
I wouldn't know. Someone scratched my telescope lens so I can't see it properly.
Someone scratched it? Oh, how horrid.
Katie flashes an embittered, knowing sneer. Marianne comes out onto her front doorstep as the other three women prepare to go off on their run. Eve waves. Marianne looks on sadly as the trio head off. Returning indoors, she goes to the fridge where sits the chocolate cake. She agonizes and then gives in, dipping her finger in the icing. Eve comes in through her front door, breathing hard after the run. She presses a button on her phone.
I just thought I'd call you to tell you that I've moved.
Again?
Yeah, I sent you a card with all my details on it. Did you not? I've set up my own clinic.
What's wrong with your old job?
I'm my own boss now. It's more of a challenge. Well, I just thought I'd call you in case you needed me for anything. Do you want to go and get a pen so that you can write down my new address?
Oh, I have to get another address book. You've moved so many times that this one's full. don't know where it is. Give me a number and I'll call you back.
It's on the damn card I sent you!
Imogen writes on Marianne's plaster cast.
Nothing rude, okay? Katie might see it.
How many C's are there in cocksucker?
You did not.
The AA, Tom?
Unfortunately not. It's work. Gotta go. See you tomorrow, cripple.
Bye, darling.
Imogen leaves Katrina sitting on the sofa next to Marianne.
Right, yeah. Kat, are we okay?
Yeah, of course.
Come on, I know you. Something's up.
Why did you tell Eve about me and Nick? But you swore on Katie's life that you would never tell anyone.
I'm really sorry, okay? I was pissed off my head.
You've been pissed before and you've never said anything.
Yeah, I know, but she'd sort of guessed at something.
Guessed?
She kept asking me and she wouldn't drop it. I made her promise not to tell anyone.
Well, she told me.
Katrina goes out, leaving Marianne deeply vexed. In Eve's house, she comes through into her workroom. She opens up her computer and pulls up her messages. Eve clicks Elaine's message off. A shadow of worry seems to flit across her impassive face, but she then picks up and studies an ID tag from Bristol Psychiatric Hospital bearing her photo and the name Dr. Eve Wright. She now sits at the wheel of her car, driving down a dual carriageway towards a city which could be Bristol. A doctor in scrubs walks along a hospital corridor. Eve appears. Eve lets herself into a single bed locked room in which Elaine lies sleeping. She crosses to the bedside table and pulls out a laptop. With a glance across at the sleeping patient, she pulls up messages and then deletes them all. Glancing again towards Elaine, she forges a message. I know I'm going to do something bad. The voice is telling me to kill you. Eve closes up the laptop and stashes it away. Elaine stirs. Eve hastily exits the room. Elaine wakes fully and presses the alarm. Eve drives her car sedately. She raises her hand to her face, but only to stifle a yawn. She lets herself in rather wearily through the front door of her house. Her caller ID announces Susan Roberts. Eve appears perplexed.
Susan?
Listen, Eve, I'm sorry for calling so early.
No, that's all right. I was just about to get off anyway.
We need to let you know about something.
It's a little unsettling, I'm afraid.
We found an email Elaine Mathis sent you.
Hang on a minute. Oh, my God.
She was screaming in the night, saying she'd seen you.
What?
I know. I know. She insisted she had information about you that proved you were some kind of phony. She said she'd been sent emails, but when we checked, of course, there was nothing.
She then insisted you'd erased them.
So, what, do you think I'm...
Do you think I'm in danger?
Yes, I do. Her paranoia, her psychotic episodes are much more frequent.
Oh, God.
I'm seriously concerned that she'll harm herself.
Or you, or anybody.
So, what do you think we should do? Have you considered ECT?
I have, albeit reluctantly.
We'd have to do it under Section 62, but oh yes, I think it's reached that stage now.
Yeah, I think so, unfortunately.
Look after yourself, Eve.
Thanks.
Eve hangs up from talking to Susan, the woman who discovered Elaine after she cut her hair. Throughout the call, Eve has been snipping a pot plant to bits.
See you, love.
Bye.
Come on, kittykins.
You call me that ever again, I'm reporting you to Childline. Bye, Mum. Wow. Brian Cox.
Maybe we can read it together later.
Are you feeling okay?
Fine, why?
You hate this stuff.
Well, you can explain it to me.
I can't think of it. I love it.
Marianne spots Eve marshalling the running club.
Remember, Mum, the astro indicator's never wrong.
Eve spots Marianne and waves enthusiastically. Marianne returns the wave in rather a forced fashion as she watches them set off at a brisk pace.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes.
Eve leads the pack of runners, her face set in a smile of delight. Marianne hobbles back indoors, goes to the fridge and gazes at the chocolate cake. She drops it in the bin. Elaine is wheeled on a gurney to where stands a bank of electric equipment. A doctor prepares electrodes and applies them to her forehead. A rubber wedge is inserted into Elaine's mouth. The runners continue running.
Come on!
The doctor channels electricity through Elaine's brain. Her body contorts horrifically. Eve seems to be speeding away from the other two. The runners arrive at the cafe to find Marianne seated there.
Hello. You look great.
Wow, check you out.
Marianne, what are you doing here? Only bad girls win. Eve.
Marianne fixes Eve with an arch stare. The end.